You can grow wild, or you can grow grapes. This is the wisdom of the vine dresser, who spends her mornings throughout the year walking in the dew-kissed paths between rows of vines. Behind every fragrant glass of wine or Welch's grape juice is a vine dresser. She spends her days tending the temperamental vines in order to ensure that the best fruit each vine is capable of producing comes to, well, pardon the pun, but fruition. When Sister Judith first met the vine dresser of Mount St. Scholastica, she heard those words of wisdom. You can grow wild, or you can grow grapes. Sister Judith looked at the vine dresser's hands, gnarled yet amazingly able to hold everything with great tenderness and strength. Though she went to the vineyard to learn the art of growing grapes 40 years ago, Sister Judith says that she's now found that she's learned a great deal more about what it means to live a spiritual life by tending to those vines, what it means for us to be connected to God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, that holy vine dresser of our souls. Sister Judith will be the first to tell you if one day you go visit her in her vineyard up in Atchison, Kansas, and you are welcome to do so. She's still there every day, as far as I know. She'll be the first to tell you that growth that leads to fruit, doesn't just happen. Now, some growth does seem to just happen. There are spaces in nature prone to overgrowth, devoid of a gardener or vine dresser to tend to and care for the fruit. If you want to do an experiment, even here in the suburbs of Johnson County, stop mowing the lawn for a few weeks. Stop weeding the bed, and you will find that even the tamest of suburban settings, even our well-manicured lawns, can quickly turn to a jungle almost overnight. In the South, there is a plant that is really guilty for overgrowth. Anyone know what I'm gonna call it? What is it? Kudzu. Kudzu, yes. In the South, kudzu is king. Even the strongest of trees will not survive its grasp. There are areas of the South just draped in blankets of kudzu. A green blanket that may be appealing at first to the eye, but you'll be terrified to learn that kudzu grows at a rate of 150,000 acres annually. Its nickname? The vine that ate the South. Let's hope it never becomes the vine that ate the Midwest, right? Good growth, the kind of growth that bears fruit and allows for others to bear fruit, takes attention, dedication, and time. It takes the tender care of some force or someone outside of the plant itself who has the wisdom to know what is best. In the scriptures that we heard this morning, Paul writes a letter to a young, growing church. Paul writes this letter to the church at Galatia. And how many of you are studying Galatians right now? All right, my old star, so shout out anything you hear if you want to add anything at any time, right? So he writes to them, and these are people who are likely very familiar with the art of turning seed into fruit. So they understand this fruit imagery very well. So Paul tells these little tendrils, still young and supple in their faith, still light on the fingertips, eager and able to grasp onto the first sturdy line that they find, to be careful. Why? Well, think back to middle school if you can, or for some of you, that time may be now. Think back to that time when you felt like you were young and wild and creative. Those years when we begin to experiment with finding our identity apart from the home. I was creative in those years. I would get into the attic and find my mom's old clothes from the 70s and wear bell bottoms one week and crazy boots and shirts the next. And I was always reinventing myself through the way I dressed, my hair, the music I listened to, and the people that I hung around. According to the vine dresser, new branches are also very creative. They want to live, they want to grow. But so they grow in many directions, too many directions, and they will cling to whatever is available. We are prone in those years to clinging to the first thing or person that comes our way. Do you remember that? Best case scenario, we grab a hold of a sturdy line, somebody who is well-rooted and has been cared for and nurtured by others. They're growing good fruit, and then they help us also to grow good fruit and grow up into a life with God. But there are bad scenarios, times when we find ourselves taking hold of someone not rooted in such good soil, or soul, I almost said. Kudzu taking over the young, tender tendrils, and before long, we find ourselves growing in unhealthy directions or not growing at all. Here's the thing about those young tendrils. As they grab, they curl. Have you ever seen a young vine? They curl and wrap themselves around the object they choose. While the tendrils are still green, they can be manipulated. But once they dry, they are very difficult to remove from the object they've clung to without doing damage to the object or to the vine itself. Timing and shaping are key. This Paul knows. So he writes to this church in Galatia with urgency, a church that he loves and he cares very deeply about. And he tells them, make sure God's Holy Spirit is taking the lead. For it seemed to Paul that the church at Galatia was growing in two directions, almost being torn apart. On the one hand were those who interpreted the freedom in Christ, the life of freedom in Christ, as being a life of freedom to do whatever you want. And we heard some of those things, those activities and behaviors listed off in our reading this morning. They were wild and crazy and selfish. There was drunkenness and fornication and all these wild, unhealthy lifestyles that do nothing to show the life that Christ led, that don't reflect the fruit of Jesus Christ. But, on the other hand, there were some who were clinging to another unhealthy way, which was the way of traditional Judaism as it was understood, clinging to the law, the Levitical laws, just as they were, as if Christ had never been born and died at all. Paul's answer is somewhere in between. He says there's a new sturdy line to cling to in this life in Christ. and you need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is one of those things that's like, if you want to give a true test, have someone give a children's sermon on what and who the Holy Spirit is. It seems much easier to talk about God. It's far easier to talk about Jesus because it's God's Spirit in flesh and who walked on this earth. We can relate and we can grab hold. But the Holy Spirit is much harder to grasp. But Paul does throw them a line. He says, you can know whether or not the Holy Spirit is in your midst, whether or not the Holy Spirit is taking care of you, if there is the fruit of love, if there is the fruit of patience, if there is the fruit of joy and gentleness and kindness and peace and self-control, you know that is the Holy Spirit. But those other fruits, let's not look at just those first ones that are, you know, sorcery and fornication. Let's look at some other ones that Paul puts on equal standing. Outbursts of anger, envy, jealousy, strife, dissension. We may tune out when we hear those first fruits and think, God, I don't have that in my life. But who doesn't struggle in those areas from time to time? Those fruits, when they come to fruition in a community, they act like kudzu. Because strife and jealousy and envy and drunkenness, they don't nurture community. They ruin community. Those fruits are born out of starting places that he calls the flesh, which is not just the body as we understand it, because we are people of an incarnational God and an incarnational faith who know that human bodies can do wonderful things when abiding in God. Really, the word that Paul is using here is selfishness. Those behaviors that are rooted in selfishness are not the Holy Spirit. In fact, they are enemies of the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so we must do our best to be rooted in the Spirit and to allow the Holy Spirit to prune us, to take care of us, and to make sure our tendrils are wrapped around good and sturdy lines in the life of discipleship. Life in the Spirit, it puts us in right relationship with one another. Those fruits that are born of life in the Spirit are fruits that make good communities possible. They are fruits that make the church a place desirable, a place of shelter in a world that doesn't know peace, that doesn't know gentleness, that doesn't know joy, that doesn't know kindness. We are supposed to be known by those things. And that is supposed to draw the hungry crowds back to Christ. Think about people in your life. Just take a moment, close your eyes maybe. Who is someone in your life who is most at peace? Who is incredibly joyful? Who just exudes kindness? Can you think of that person, those people? Do you know that they are kind and gentle and peaceful because they tell you all the time that they are kind and peaceful and loving people? Or is it some other way that you know? Some inexplicable way when you're around them and it just rubs off on you and you feel like you've had a touch of the Spirit? This is the best evangelism. Evangelism really gets a bad rap sometimes in this day and age, but I think for good reason. Perhaps there are too many Christians out there that go around saying, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. But they don't necessarily have that odor of Christ. They don't have that gentleness and that peace just seeping through their veins in such a way that they don't even have to say it, but people know it. You know when a grape is a grape, and you know when it's not. This is the way we are supposed to live. And in these last weeks, I know it's weird to say, right? I mean, it's only been 1 month, but in these last few weeks together, we are going to take time to explore the 9 fruits of the Spirit. We are going to really be marinating in this text and asking ourselves, in our life with Christ, are we becoming more gentle? Are we becoming more loving? Are we experiencing more self-control? And if not, what can we do to turn that around? That's what we will be focusing on in these weeks ahead, and here's why. Because as you look at the news, as you go home, as you get phone calls and see things on the news feed or whatever, you know that there is a stranger, a neighbor, a sibling, a partner, a child, a world that is longing and starved for a harvest of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So may the Holy Spirit, the Holy Vine Dresser, be invited to walk through your rows of vines and give your soul in this season tender, loving peace.